So there comes a point where I've just done a gimmick so many times. But this is one of those times where I really just want to open up with a gimmick of turning the music down, saying, you know, never mind, can't do it, and then just play the outro music and do the outro and just have that be the show. But I think I've done that gimmick twice already, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to refer to it, thus sealing my pretend cleverness. Ha 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 ha.
Is this like punchline by number?
Yeah, yeah. Number four! This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Olby, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. Not the happiest day here at Waveform Orchards, I have to admit, but it is a Sunday. And how are you, Josh?
Because I wish I could say I'm doing better.
Yeah.
Really not good.
I can usually count on you for the downbeat.
Yeah.
It's to the point where now I'm just excited, sort of expecting the downbeat in the intro to come from you. But when we already start with a downbeat, I don't know where we go. So we're just going to, like I said, we're going to get completely meta about how I do my cold opens. But I don't have to do that here. Tom, how are you?
I am recovering from the flu.
The flu?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And I feel guilty.
Guilty for getting sick.
Don't be like me, kids.
Okay.
Get your flu shot. Get it early. I should have known better. I mean, I normally get the flu shot at work, and I do get the flu. I got the flu shot at work. Mm. Trouble is, I don't know. I change buildings, things, and it's like, wait a minute, it's October already?
Yeah.
But, you know, what's going on here? And yeah, work in a clinic. There's sick people there. And finally, oh man, I got to do something about this. So I go and find my way to the flu shot.
Right.
Yeah, I get the flu shot. Feeling fine. 12 hours later, symptoms of the flu. Now, the uneducated will say, the flu shot did that to you. Oh no, 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 no. I was incubating.
Right.
This was the flu.
It takes a few minutes. A few days.
That was Friday a week ago.
Yeah.
And I'm still getting over it.
But doing a little better now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting there. So, I mean, if I start, you know, coughing up loogies, I'll try
to sample it for future music making is what I'll do.
So yeah. What you're saying is that people that claim that the flu vaccine gives you the flu, it's just people that were already sick with the flu. They just
in my case, that's sure the case. I mean, you know, you can get a little inflammatory response, and with that, you might feel a little achy or something. But no, this was the flu. There's a big difference. Big.
You get your flu shot yet?
I have not, and now I'm super guilty because
yeah. I was expecting you to say yes, and I was going to do this whole thing. Again, I'm just going to get meta. Forgive me, doctor, for I have sinned. It has been 40 years and 8 months since my last confession.
Oh my God.
I totally spaced on my flu shot. Becky was like, yeah, I got my flu shot. I'm like, word.
Yeah, I used to.
That work. I can't say on the air. Flu shot. I should get one of those. Oh, and it's not even like it's expensive. I just got to roll in and one of 15 places within walking distance of my house. 5 minutes and it's done.
Yeah, you know, my grandmother's first husband died of the flu in 1918.
Yikes.
You know, I've seen people who died of the flu. It's bad.
It's not a. And the weird thing about the flu of 1918, 100 years ago, was that it targeted younger people and healthier people.
Oh, yeah.
And,
well, she was a newlywed.
Yeah.
This was in Oklahoma, not far from probably where the flu started.
Yeah. Just for those of you playing at home, old people were not born old.
and she almost died of it, from what I understand, but her husband did.
Wow.
Can you imagine being that sick and dealing with the corpse of your spouse? Oof. Get your flu shot.
Yeah. Stuff like that has been in my thoughts as of late, but not specifically about the flu. But let's start on a light note. Let's start on something fun. The Vatican has endorsed a mobile phone game called JC Go, modeled after the Ingress and Pokemon Go games, where players interact with real-life locations to find and digitally collect Catholic saints. They also answer religious quiz questions, collect food and spirituality points, and are prompted to pray in real life when they pass a church or hospital. The Catholic group Fundación Ramón Panay launched the game as the church spins up for World Youth Day in 2019, which will take place in January in Panama. The app currently has a 3.2 star out of 5 in the Google Play Store.
Is this a game for children?
Yeah, absolutely.
In as much as any of those games are for children, I suppose.
I don't know. Getting kids to get closer to church unattended is not a good idea, I don't think.
I read this, and I probably had the first same thought as about 15 other people who are trying to think of a headline or a joke or a catch. And I go, Pokemon Go! Gotta dig them all. That's a Pope Stephen joke for those of you playing at home.
I'm not Catholic. I don't know Pope Stephen.
I think he's the guy. He's either the guy they dug up or the guy who dug up the guy to put him on trial after he had died.
Right. Yes, yeah. That's right.
I mean, there are Catholics in my near atmosphere, but, in my orbit, but I'm not among them. But, it's like, just popes. You go catch popes and...
I thought they were saints.
Saints, and you got to do prayers, and
I grant this was before I read the news brief, so I was just assuming that they would go catch popes, and then put the popes in plastic balls and force them to fight,
and then you can use and pray to them to cure whatever ailment you have. Well, after you caught it. So there you go.
It just underscores how much modern spirituality is a lot like a role-playing game. Like, they don't even have to stretch their minds very far to get to the point where you have health and mana.
Oh, yeah. No,
they don't have to do much to have weird people in funky costumes come out and cast spells at you, especially at the Vatican. There's a bumper crop of that crap happening there. I mean, this is Pokemon Go LARPing, basically, at this point, because you go there and it's the place is designed for you to play the game. And there are people literally in costumes, and you play the game, and you literally do, like, rituals in order to gain magic points and health points and level up your character, and also the little creatures you keep, which are supposedly people, and have them fight. So or something.
This actually makes the religion more real than ever.
I know.
I mean, this actually adds a real world element to their mythology.
Almost like the real thing.
Virtual reality Catholicism. Man.
Augmented.
Yeah.
You know, the two articles you folks referenced in one of them was from a gaming site. The other was from a Catholic site. And looking at the ads next to them was really kind of interesting. You know?
I can imagine.
The gaming site had all the fantasy elements and things in the ads.
Yeah.
And the Catholic site had all the fantasy elements and things in the ads. It was pretty interesting. You know, I'm Michael, you know, you may know me from this, 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 and this. It's almost like a game, and I don't know, it looked like a fantasy story.
Well, the weird thing is that the way a lot of Catholics in eras gone by to reach level 60 and become a saint, and thus get elite status, was to basically be captured or murdered or have horrible things to happen to you, or, you know, at least in the narrative. And so now you've written a role-playing game where you have to go capture these people.
I thought they just had...
Are you sure you're playing on the Catholic side on this one? I mean, like, I know Ingress had good guys and bad guys. Do you have, like, Catholics and Arinianists and stuff like that? And then they fight, and then there's a Council of Worms? Or is that just what the stops are? I mean...
I thought they had to be Val Kilmer and perform three miracles.
What I'm saying is, why didn't I write this? You guys should have called me. I would have done a way better job. You'd have 4 stars. Easy. I could make your Catholic game way more fun.
I think
it wouldn't be like Super Catholic Brothers.
I think it's only in Spanish right now too. So like,
oh, is
can
it?
You do one for Satanic Temple.
Oh, they got way better programmers than me.
Okay,
those guys don't need my help. Yeah, you start with fun stuff. I will be honest with you guys. We didn't write a brief on it because I'm not. The information about, we spend a lot of time on Ask an Atheist talking about Saudi Arabia and how terrible it is, and how much of a worthless government the family of Saud is. And the fact, if I were in Saudi Arabia and I were saying that, I would probably be caned several thousand times, or whipped several thousand times, or flogged, or whatever the...
Or worse.
Whatever the scar-making du jour is. We've often talked about the guy in Saudi Arabia who's basically in jail and being beaten because he's an atheist, Raif Badawi. And so, and then And then Trump becomes president, and they make a big deal about how they're making inroads with MBS over SBD or something. I'm not really following this because it goes into, right, that's in the Monster Manual. I don't have to pay attention to that. I just know they're bad.
There was a massive love affair for MBS.
Wasn't he? Isn't he in that picture of the when they were casting the spell with the magic earth globe?
No, the globe I don't think actually was MBS. Oh, okay. That was the king.
This is a lot like the love affair when Assad first came on board.
Yeah,
everyone thought he was a reformer. You know, he was hip.
Well, he was kind of
groovy.
He reformed something. It wasn't good. It's the problem with reformers. But not that all reformers are bad. Just saying, you know, hashtag not all reformers. All right, I need to stop joking. Somebody explain to me in small words what the heck is going on with this Khashoggi stuff. This guy getting murdered for, you know, being a journalist.
Khashoggi's a dissident who works for what? Washington Post?
Washington Post, yeah.
You know, background is a little more of a strident, you know, Muslim Brotherhood type, but he seemed like somebody who could learn from experience, and he did, and he became fairly humanistic, you know, humanitarian, humanistic, and has been in National Post, been rooting to try and get some reasonable reforms to the Saudi government.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's not strident. He's not, I mean, it's just your basic... this is how civilized nations operate.
Well, if I recall, he was involved with the Muslim Brotherhood back when the Muslim Brotherhood was a lot less...
when they were less...
militant strident. And yeah. violent themselves.
Yeah.
Not that Fox News will tell you that, because I knew that was like the slow push that conservative media was trying to do, was to paint him as a terrorist, even though he worked for the Washington Post, mm-hmm. which I grant they might consider a terrorist organization. He lived in the United States and has two American children.
Oh, he's very Western values now.
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, of the type we agree with.
Yeah, the stuff we talk about here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't speak to if he was a part of the Muslim. I don't know if that was the case, if he actually was ever friendly.
He spoke well. What I read from the media, again,
yeah, right.
was that he spoke well of them, but this was back in the days when they weren't they are now.
Yeah, did he speak well of them? Or, I mean, was he...
He parted ways with them well before they became militant and ugly. Yeah.
Back when they were reformers, right?
Yeah, back when they were reformers.
Before the Egyptian...
Right. So Q2018, what happened?
He had been talking apparently about the fact how what he was doing was dangerous. He knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed to make sure his divorce was final in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, something
correct?
Like that.
Yeah, right. So he was due to get married, I think, on the 3rd. And so the day prior, he was trying to make sure his paperwork was straight for a divorce from his wife in Saudi Arabia. So he went to the consulate in Turkey and then never came out. Like an hour afterwards, body double comes out wearing his clothes.
That's new to me. I hadn't heard that.
They're literally, it's somebody who looks a little like him wearing his clothes.
They were trying to put pictures out. Like, here he is walking down the street.
Okay.
They went all out trying to hide the fact that they were trying to say he left the embassy. And like his fiance was waiting outside for... hours.
And what apparently the plot twist was is they didn't know and apparently didn't suspect that the Turks were bugging the embassy. I mean,
apparently the whole
that's
and the Turks have their own agenda.
Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
this is how that game is played, right?
Step one.
It takes a lot to make Erdogan look like a good guy.
Yeah.
I hadn't considered that part of it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the enemy of my enemy in this case is not necessarily my friend.
Yeah.
No, definitely not a friend basis.
Oh, jeez. And so, yeah, so the way that, and this was the, I hadn't, basically my problem was I didn't sit down and like collate all of the facts because first they were saying, he's fine. He was probably killed by a random party of high level magic users.
No, the first thing they said is like, no, he left.
Yeah.
And then they moved on saying, oh, he died. And then they said it was because of failed interrogation.
Yeah, fist fight. It was a fist fight. Yeah.
Like, he started a fight with 15 people, one of them armed with a bone saw.
And then that was the point. Which,
because they wouldn't grant him his divorce, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you bring out a bone saw, I'm fighting you.
I mean, that's...
as much as I can possibly
That is good action movie material. You have to say.
I won't go very far, but...
No. It's a short scene, but it's a scene.
I'm afraid this is more of spy movie material.
Well, yeah. And so by the time they start going, well, he got in a fist fight, Turkey goes, hey, you might want to be a little bit more honest. We're like, what? We're just talking about Khashoggi. And then they go, Bob, we recorded it.
Yeah. They got audio recordings of it, it seems that. And they're like, every time the Saudis come up with a new story, it's blown away immediately. And then it doesn't help that
And Trump was saying, oh, you know, you don't know what happened to this guy, blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah.
And then Turkey says this, and they send the head of the CIA over to personally listen to these tapes. And then suddenly it's like, ooh, the jig is up.
Yeah, no kidding. And then my favorite point was, my favorite, and you know what I mean by favorite when I say the point where just the absurdity just broke through a level for me, was when they said, well, we were interrogating him and he died. And I'm like, that means you fucked up your torture. What else does that mean? That cannot mean anything else. How is this a defense against literally anything at all?
They didn't need to interrogate him.
No.
His perspective was all over the media.
Yeah.
That was not an interrogation. It might have been torture. It was not an interrogation. It was, let this be known to anyone else out there.
Indeed.
There's those thoughts.
It is, I don't want to point this at Trump, except I completely want to point this at Trump. It's not like Trump cast this, I'm totally going with RPG this week. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's not like he raised Saudi Arabia up from the depths to do his bidding, but it was partially his interactions, MBS's interactions with Jared Kushner, him the economic push.
RPG?
Role-playing game.
Okay.
That's what I thought. Not the grenade.
Right.
Yeah. MBS is being a big player is a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
Because of the Trump administration backing.
Right.
He's that fresh.
He's really fresh. It was just 2 years ago that there was another crown prince, and he basically has imprisoned his entire family in the very fancy,
or as prison. I like to think of it, doing the Miskovich. David Miskovich.
Oh, David. Yeah, that's right.
What happened to his wife anyway?
Yeah, whatever she is. Anyway, we could do our usual commentary thing about it, but sometimes a story gets so absurd. The facts as they are displayed are so clear, and our position on something so well known, that the best thing I can do is just have somebody tell me what the hell happened. Because the story is its own condemnation. The fact of the matter, the very facts of the case, paint Saudi Arabia to be exactly like we thought they were for the years and years we've been talking about them on this show.
And the hand cleaning, ringing is exactly what we'd expect.
Right.
From our side.
Right.
Uh-huh.
There was also another semi-comedic high point where one of the guys involved with the fist fight, quote unquote, with one of the people who murdered him, subsequently died
in a car accident
in Saudi Arabia, and news and intelligence sources were reporting, we don't know if it was an intentional killing or just driving in Saudi Arabia is that bad.
That could easily be the case.
Yeah.
I saw people coming back, a Desert Storm, most of the casualties coming back, wounded, were actually truck wrecks, literally, from driving on Saudi roads.
That I did not know.
Yeah. Wow. At the big hospitals, and yeah.
Whew, yeah, and so, like, when you see that, like, we don't know if he was intentionally bumped off or if Saudi Arabia traffic is just that bad. Like, we literally cannot say. And that was a fact I did not have available.
Yeah.
The timing makes me put a pretty high index of suspicion that he might have been about to blow the whistle.
The timing really does suggest something fairly terrible.
I don't know for sure, but...
And I could do the entire show just on this alone, just for how much we've talked about Saudi Arabia, but not this week. This is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Alvey. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the other stuff that happened this week.
Hey, Frank, how have you been?
Not great.
Oh, no. What's wrong?
I have cancer.
Aw, that sucks. Hey, have you heard of squid ink?
No, what's that?
It's a cool new thing that'll cure cancer right up.
Cool.
Later, Danny goes to check on Frank. Frank has died. This is what happens when you take squid ink. 4 out of 5 children that come into contact with squid ink develop squiditis and grow up to be communists. Squid ink, not even once.
Disclaimer, no Franks were harmed in the making of this PSA.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. I will play with the right knob.
Well, this music makes me feel like I'm in an RPG.
A U.S. Embassy... One more time for the world! U.S. Embassy officials in Canberra, Australia apologized for erroneously emailing a meeting invitation to an unknown number of individuals that featured a photo of a cat dressed in blue PJs holding a plate of cookies. The apology from the U.S. State Department lamented disappointing recipients who'd hoped to attend the Cat Pajama Jam party and revealed that such an event falls well outside the department's area of expertise. They attributed the mistake to a training error committed by a new staff for testing the newsletter distribution platform. The U.S. Embassy in New Zealand tweeted a clip of a cat typing on a laptop with a comment that they were actually lolling.
I'm surprised they didn't have a cat walking out of the embassy in the outfit.
You know? Right. I mean... I'm you know, the guy, I'm the ambassador to Australia from the United States. And that happens. I'm having the cat pajama jam party. It's not my area of expertise, but
it is now.
I did it. We're doing it.
Not invite the Americans. Yeah. You're not invited. You ruined this for us. We're gonna.
Yeah. Like, I love that idea, and I actually love the way it was, I saw a picture of it, and it was like, there was no details, it was literally just the picture of the cat, apparently.
Looks like a Cookie Monster. Yeah.
Now, is this a furry party, or is this
No, it was a real cat with a plate of cookies!
Right, but yeah. The party is the party you're gonna throw, is it gonna be furries?
well, I mean, wouldn't be, yeah, okay, I don't know where to go with that on radio.
Alright. I rest my case.
Yeah, you do that. Once you make that kind of mistake, it costs you what? One call to the local pound and one trip to the grocery store to pick up some cookies to have your, you know, to invite the prime minister over for some cookies and cats and try to keep the cats away from the cookies because cat hair and cookies are not a great mix. But ask me how I know. And yeah, I think you should do that. I think it would be a great idea. And I think you're apologizing for the wrong thing if you're America right now. To wit. Police arrested an extremist who used the U.S. Postal Service to send pipe bombs targeting high-profile critics of Donald Trump in the media, government, law enforcement, and intelligence. Cesar Sayoc was arrested after authorities matched him to DNA evidence and a fingerprint from the unexploded packages. Sayoc's van, which he seemed to be living out of, was also confiscated by the FBI. It was covered in stickers often found in right-wing online groups and included pro-Trump slogans and a picture of Hillary Clinton in crosshairs. I think it was more than just Hillary Clinton in crosshairs.
Oh, yeah. No, it was way more than Hillary Clinton. I mean,
yeah.
That van was covered and stuff like that.
I gotta say, I'm a member of a Facebook group that shares pictures of bedecked conservative vans. Because I used to see them a lot in Arizona, and I kind of missed them. And I needed Facebook to be less depressing. And believe it or not, joining this Facebook group made Facebook less depressing for me. Because at least I had something I could giggle at. And so at this point in my life, I have seen a lot of vans that are pro-Trump and anti-Democrats and calling liberalism a disease that must either be shot, burned, or cured. So, you know, it's like that's par for the course. This guy was a cut above, though. Can we just take a minute and talk about his photoshopping skills, if he indeed did the photoshopping? Because that, like, most of the time you see it, it's scrawled with whiteout on or something like that. This was nice.
Wait, what did he Photoshop?
No, like what? The actual stickers on the
Stickers. Yeah, it was, but. Yeah, no, he did a good job on editing, I guess, if we want to go his production. Yeah.
Shame about the terrorism!
Are we sure he did that?
I mean,
my impression...
He just downloaded him off the internet.
Yeah, he wasn't the kind of guy to get into technical stuff. I could be wrong.
No, but if he's that good, maybe... Okay, you know, he might be stealing them from somewhere, but I don't know. He's getting really good print. He like, why don't you go work for Mad Magazine? Why be a terrorist?
Well, he was, I mean, he's all about that Trump love. Like, he was a mega Trump fan. Still is, probably, but...
Well, one would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, everybody's trying to... They're trying to deny that he was... But, I mean, there's videos. Like, he was at events, every possible event he could possibly go to, just cheering his head off, and he made sure everybody knew it.
I think his biggest mistake, as far as Trump is concerned, the... Bomber's biggest mistake is he just was premature. He jumped the gun. Sorry.
What do you mean by that? I don't
know. Oh, Trump doesn't seem to mind this guy.
No, that's true.
Trump kind of likes what he's doing.
Trump has refused. Trump has refused to really.
Well, he's blaming the media.
Yeah.
He's sitting there saying it's the media's fault that this happened. It's the media is responsible for his hateful rhetoric getting out and inspiring people. So therefore, it is the media's fault. Because otherwise, if it wasn't for the media, you wouldn't hear Trump.
I just think that any rhetoric coming from the administration is not done in good faith. I don't think they believe it. I don't think they mean it. I just don't. I'm getting very cynical.
So the day before they caught the guy, I sort of went into media consumption mode because I knew the poop show was going to be pretty fantastic to watch from the pundit aspect of it. And every like CNN, MSNBC, I think even looked at Al Jazeera, not CBS because you know CBS, but and certainly not Fox. But he, you know, they would play Trump's quote of he saying like. You know, he's responsible for his own actions. I had nothing to do with this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of the media organizations would play a supercut of him vaguely threatening or saying negative things about literally every person on the list who were to receive pipe bombs.
Yeah. And then the non-mainstream sources were calling it a false flag operation. In fact, I kind of missed the voice of Alex Jones during this whole thing because like he didn't show up at all. It didn't seem like it's all false flag, people.
I just loaded up that soundboard on my phone and pressed.
Utterly predictable.
Yeah, utterly predictable. Utterly predictable.
But did he?
He said something like that. But I mean, that's
the whole point. So the point I want to get at though is like, so this is a little bit off topic. Deep platforming. Alex Jones has de-amplified his voice.
Holy crap, it worked!
It kind of worked. Amazing.
You're right.
I mean, like, it's sure, he's popping up, but, like, this would, like, Alex Jones was everywhere.
That's true.
Shut up, Siri.
What?
I remember, this was on people who owned the platform, you know, their advertisers. This is private stuff.
Yeah.
You know? That was up to them to deplatform them. I'm glad they did.
I'm glad they did, too.
It wasn't deplatforming a third party, which I'm not so hot on.
Right.
But if it's like, yeah, this is my platform, you can't get on it.
I was worried about it because unlike a lot of other people who say terrible things on social media, Alex Jones has a strong enough media presence outside of social media that I thought he could sustain it, but it doesn't look like he can.
Nah, I mean, he's got his... There's always going to be the people that listen to Alex Jones, but that's going to less and less. He just can't get new recruits.
But it dovetails really well into the point I really felt like I needed to make about this, about all of this, is that yes, Donald Trump has nothing to do with the guy who sent. They've probably never met, even though they've probably been in the same room together because that's how candidates, right. You know, that's how politics works. But he's not legally culpable for this guy sending these bombs. He shouldn't have to go to court for that. You know, unless it's like a character witness type thing, I suppose. I mean, you can make that case.
Yeah, nobody's talking about taking.
But he's not on the hook for it.
He's got responsibility, though, for his rhetoric has responsibility.
That's just it. There's this weird dichotomy we have in the United States, I find, where we absolutely love the freedom of speech concept and we defend it to the hilt, but we also like to pretend that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We like to put on a pedestal the power of speech, but then when that power of speech has consequences, we say, it's just words. It doesn't matter.
People with integrity don't do that.
I think people I'm not talking about the president here, don't get me wrong, but I do think that people who have some form of integrity in other times and in other places do fall victim to this kind of cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of a, if you will, it's held very closely, very personally. It's a closely held belief, if you will. And because it's a closely held belief and it's part of their catechism and it's part of their dogma, they're not going to take it out and examine it and take a look at it.
So this falls into the realm of a psychological defense mechanism.
It's a psychological defense mechanism akin to faith. We have faith in the freedom of speech, but we don't take that faith out and examine it very well. Words in a tribal species like us, in a socializing species like us, words are going to have power because words are how our thoughts are translated from one mind to another. It is so important, the weird old guys from the 18th century put that above guns on the list of things that should be held important. Now, some of us are not a big fans of that one. I get that. But while they were fans of that, they felt speech and press and words were more important. It was not an unintentional oversight that the First Amendment is the First Amendment.
Why do tyrants always go for the radio stations first, you know?
Right.
Let's take control.
Yeah, it's to the heart of what I'm doing right now. And now you have Pence going on the air and saying, well, I don't think Trump is responsible for this. It's rhetoric is rhetoric and debate is debate. And da, 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 da. All right, Mike Pence. I'm not saying that anybody should murder you, but I'll defend them in court if they do. Is that rhetoric? Is that the level of conversation you want to see in this nation? Literal threats? But the difference is, Mr. Vice President, there's a legal protection for you that I don't get because of who you are. To say nothing of the shared color of our skins, or nothing of our lack of certain religious and ethnic affiliations, you even have protections beyond me because you are in the executive branch of this nation. So you can sit on your safe seat in Washington, D.C. and say this is just rhetoric, we should tone it down. You are not a threat! You are not the one who is going to face the consequences with this. You might get unelected in 2 years. You might get impeached. You're never going to jail. And you're going to spend the rest of your tiny life in Indiana doing whatever it is you do with your weird won't be around woman brain.
I'm going to say it again. This administration, I don't think, is acting in good faith. They're not speaking good faith. They did not take their oath to the Constitution in good faith.
No.
They want something very different.
They want something very specifically different. And they're using the recipe as advertised. This is not the first time anybody's seen this. And you don't even have to go back to World War II. We have tons of examples. Many of them in South America. Some of them propped up by us. That we can look at.
Yeah,
they're even using that narrative. I saw a sticker, free helicopter rides for liberals. What do you think that means?
Oh, wow. I have not seen that. That's terrible.
Yeah, I haven't seen the sticker around town, but I've seen it on the internet.
Screw you, Vice President. You may not be legally culpable, but you are morally and socially culpable, and that's the power of free speech. People like me and people across the nation are going to call you to account for these things. You know, we can't take your money away. We can't deprive you of rights because that is the power of the Constitution and that is the strength of this nation. But you might be ostracized from places that you might already be ostracized from, but I think you're going to find that there are places you would like to be, places you would like to go, like the Resolute Desk, that you're going to find very difficult in the years coming when people are called to account and when this moment of violence ends and we all have to sit back and just have that moment where we go, wow, what the hell happened?
I should hope they should have to worry about that. They don't seem worried about that.
Yeah, you know, I think they've got a reason why they don't worry about it, because I think there's a there. We don't prosecute executives in this country.
That and they've consolidated power.
That and they're really horribly consolidated power. I mean, you saw Newt Gingrich saying, you know, well, what if we look at his tax returns? And he just up and says, well, we'll see if all this investment in Kavanaugh was worth it.
Yeah, right. No, he just gave up the game right there. Just not even hedging.
He didn't feel the need.
No need.
That is one of the reasons why I think we can turn Newt, because he doesn't mince words. I think hallucinogens, Japanese cartoons,
MDMA,
and about six hours, and I could make him a liberal.
I wouldn't want
to. I'm on the hook for that. This is Ask an Atheist. 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to the break, and we come back. The other bad thing that happened this week. The third, or whatever.
This episode is sponsored by Cephalopod.
Hey, my little fishies. It's Jusubu89. Today I'm here with Donut Reviews, at work I'm going to be reviewing squid ink patches. They're said to cure common colds.
I hear they can even cure squiditis.
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. So you grab the patches. Oh, well, they're kind of slimy.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but cool at the same time.
And then you stick them on right about here.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay, on the count of three.
One, two, three. Do not use squid ink products. Despite their seemingly magical benefits, those claims are flimsy. They conduct their business in a shady manner, and we believe that Cephalopod is dealing on the black market. You may even turn into a tentacle monster. Beware.
Look, I'm aware I might get in trouble for that last segment.
Hey, some of us want tentacles, okay?
But I just don't know how you go on. I don't know a man of conscience, as he purports himself to be. A man of consistency, as he purports himself to be. I'm not asking for any sort of ideological agreement. I'm asking from the bowels of his own version of Christianity, how you can say that words have nothing to do with it when your statement is some guy saying, I am the word, the truth, and the light, things like that. Like, how do you not understand that these things have power when it's in your religion? And how do you not understand that you work for a guy who would defend murderers and hangs out with people who thinks it's okay to body slam the Third Estate?
He understands that, and he's fine with it.
That's
his path to power.
So just, back off on the religious stuff, and you know what? We'll let you be the corrupt ruler you always wanted to be. That's not true.
No, not true.
But try whatever.
Stop him. Yeah.
Mike and I had a conversation about we need to have a president and a TV president. And then we can just have Trump be elected to TV president.
So that Flintstones.
Was, according to some of the things I heard in the press, that's what Trump was trying to get.
Yeah.
He offered somebody, you know, said, why don't you be vice president? And you can make all the policy and I'll make America great.
Right.
Kasich. It was Kasich.
He was Kasich. And would you like to handle foreign and domestic policy for the next 4 years in the United States? And Kasich was like, no.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, everything I hear, though, is like pretty much, I mean, if you look at our policies and everything we're doing is a Pence policy anyway. So, I mean, we essentially got Pence as the most powerful vice president ever.
Yeah.
He's just doing everything backdoor.
Yeah, but he opens every speech by bootlicking Trump. You know, bring greetings to the president of the United States and all that. Ah, boy.
Well, and Trump catches most of the bullets.
That is true.
Very effectively.
Yeah, but I think Trump is catching bullets for stuff that he does. I don't think he's necessarily catching bullets for stuff that Pence is doing.
Yeah.
Unless Pence was responsible for putting kids in cages. Now, that would be a revelation.
Kavanaugh,
that would be a revelation. All right, you can tell I'm holding. You're telling I'm stalling.
Yeah.
I'm sandbagging.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So there's a reason I'm here today, and because I'm hypernosmic, I'm expecting a migraine to come on, so I was planning on incredibly heightened sense of smell.
Yeah.
It's a precursor for a migraine for me. And apparently there are smells in this house that only I can smell. And so it's like, okay, I'm trying to take it easy, but not today. A 46-year-old man shouted anti-Semitic slurs as he launched an attack at a Pittsburgh synagogue that left 11 people shot dead. Just before his assault, Robert Bowers posted that the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, a refugee resettlement organization unaffiliated with the Tree of Life Synagogue, likes to bring invaders in that kill his people, and that he couldn't sit by and watch his people get slaughtered. Bowers used the social media platform Gab, a Twitter-like service known for having few restrictions that is popular with white supremacists and so-called alt-right groups and individuals. His profile included the assertion that Jews are the children of Satan, and that Donald Trump was too lenient to be considered a nationalist since he permitted a Jewish infestation.
That word infestation, you know...
I've heard that one before.
Well, you start hearing about minority groups described in terms of vermin right before the shooting starts.
And Rwanda was the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of infestation talk and talk about roaches.
Well, it starts with individuals like this, but then it's supposed to move into some sort of organized groups of people saying this. Like, I'm using the Nazi model in this case. I mean, I am spending all of my time right now trying to look for differences, some form of comfort.
You do know that Mike Godwin said, "Oh, by all means, compare these."
I did like
Nazis.
That.
Yeah.
I would like to see a chart of Godwin's law references on the internet.
Yeah, these guys fit.
And then Godwin was like, no, yeah. Use it. And then boom, done, cliff, over. No, he says it, and then there's a huge spike because it's double reference, because somebody references, no, go ahead and use it, Godwin's other law. And then there's a drop-off as people realize that that's no longer an effective strategy anymore. Not that...
Mm. It was ever truly an effective strategy.
Exactly. And... It was Becky is listening, and if she wants me to cut this, it's okay, but it's been a very trying it's been hard, because Becky, you know, grew up Jewish, is a Jew, and she read the names of the people who had been killed by this guy, and she's like, she said two things. One, these are all names I've seen, you know, these are the names that I grew up with, and I'd have no trouble seeing my name among this group of people,
right?
And she was torn up by it, and she was crying. And this is not the first time I've seen Becky crying in the last 2 years. And then she stops, and she's like, this one's hitting me more than the others, because this happened to me and my people, and et cetera. She didn't put it that way. And I had to tell her, this is not the first time you've cried about this. You cried about kids in cages. I cried about that. You know, and this guy was specifically attacking the what is the name? HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. And I watched an interview with the guy on CNN last night, and he said, "Yeah, I mean, we initially started out getting Jews out of bad places and getting them into the United States. That was the founding
principle
behind what
but
we do.
But they didn't stop there.
But now we've expanded, and now we take care of all, we try to help all refugees, because we know what it's like to be a refugee. And so what I'm seeing is this dichotomy of the victims, the people who are being attacked, who have taken their own personal stories and have the empathy to place that personal story in the wider context, to not just see themselves, but to see other people in similar situations and want to help them, versus this guy who has a very, very small,
very narrow,
very narrow idea of what he himself is. And the only thing he will defend in his mind, defense, when it's truly an attack of the most heinous nature, is his group, his people, his problems. It's me. It's zero sum at its absolute worst. If you can't, if I can't have it, you can't have it either. And if your life gets better, it's infesting my way of life, and my way gets worse. It's this guy shooting up a synagogue. It's that guy becoming president. It's that guy becoming a Supreme Court justice. It's if you win, we lose. There is only so much winning to go around, and if you get too much of it, we're going to come after you, and we're going to blow your head off.
And for some reason, this is all happening in what is currently the most productive nation in the history of the world. There's wealth. Wealth everywhere. Well, no. Yeah. There's wealth. It's not everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's specifically pretty well sequestered at the top.
Yeah.
Well, and the complete... Oh God, I could get stupid and philosophical and kind of conspiracy theory minded, and I can talk about the divestment of wealth and value and how they don't seem to mean the same thing anymore, when in other times and other places and slightly more basic economies, they did. You know, it's not necessary... Your effort may be valuable, it may be not. And people, you know, I could go on about that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, usually you get this right-wing shift when times are hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, considering everything's improved since 2008,
Well, you have this weird dichotomy at this point, because times are hard right now socially. People used to say that times are fine right now financially, but that seems to be going the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting eaten alive in taxes thanks to that wonderful tax cut that was supposed to help me. Nope, I lost tons of money on it. When people say times are bad, they tend to think of it in terms of finance. Finance is mostly fine. It's at this point, even though they're eating away against the gains, it's still even keel. It's not like it's 2008 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's socially disastrous out there. We have pipe bombs. We have synagogue shootings. We have the president of the United States hanging out with a dude who body slams journalists. We have a guy being bone sawed to death. I mean, it's this is new to me. I'm in completely uncharted territory.
5 years ago, could we have even imagined this?
Yeah.
And where has this happened before?
Well, 5 years ago, we were worried about a tan suit and fancy mustard on a burger.
On a hot dog, actually. It was a Dijon mustard on a hot dog.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hot dog. And I love all of these people who suddenly become... I love it when a liberal president does anything, and suddenly you have all of these subject matter experts showing up everywhere saying, you don't put Dijon mustard on a hot dog? And I'm like, Mark! Have you ever been to a place where they sell hot dogs?
Tucker Carlson was so offended. It was amazing. And then
yes, clowns' jobs are to be clowns.
Yeah.
Man, that guy. I could go on about that guy.
What, to distract?
Meanwhile, the Trump administration is weighing whether to give permission to faith-based foster care agencies in South Carolina the ability to discriminate against Jewish prospective foster parents and keep receiving federal money. South Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services and Miracle Hill Ministries both argue that the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act should allow the Protestant Social Services Agency to bar Jewish people from participating, since doing so violates the organization's stated tenets of faith. The discrimination would apply to anyone deemed to be living outside the agency's faith. When Miracle Hill Ministries refuses to work with prospective parents, they currently make referrals directly to the State Department of Social Services or to agencies several hours away in other parts of the state. So originally, this news brief was at the bottom, and the one about the shooting was at the top. And I decided to read, people like, are you manipulating people by ordering the news specifically? And I'd say, absolutely, because I wanted to highlight the link between anti-Semitism and anti-Semitism.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a really strong link there.
Yeah,
I mean, gee, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wonder how those people feel. What group is this again? I'm not even going to read it. I wonder how that group of people feel today. I wonder if they're going to back off and go, huh.
I don't think so.
Wouldn't it be nice, though? Can I have a little bit of hope, even if I know it's going to be crushed? Can I construct artificial hope in my greenhouse of life?
Well, I guess my belief in humanity has taken a beating.
Yeah, as has mine.
I'm confident that they're going to deny quietly as long as possible.
Yeah.
Honestly, the thing is, even if you're not Jewish, I mean, we're atheists. This is everybody that's not Christian, and it's actually everybody that's not their specific version.
This is the Emo Phillips skit. This is pointed at literally everybody that is not them, but the argument the argument specifically is against Jewish people in this lawsuit. So it's literally anti-Semitism in this case.
It's literally anti-Semitism, but it's also not going to stop there.
No, it won't stop
there. It shouldn't go there.
Lawsuit specific to that, but what they're doing is much wider. It's a battle for the minds of children.
But does it ever stop at anti-Semitism?
Of course not.
Exactly.
Nope.
I could go on. I mean, I am a bit ranty today because I've had it, I don't know, saved up or something. But I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to spend an hour telling you what you already know. If you're within the sound of my voice, either on the air or through the podcast, you know this just as well as I do. And if you don't, you know, chances are you've probably already changed the frequency. So I'm not going to belabor what you should already know. I'm not going to belabor the things that define basically the American sense of self-worth for the last 60 years. These are things you should know. But I will rant and yell and scream when things affect my family, and this stuff does. This affects it in both ways. I mean, you know, I have my wife, and this was basically an attack on her childhood. And these guys, the anti-Semitism that I'm connecting to anti-Semitism in my horrible journalistic spinning audacity, you know, they're pointed at Jews right now, but they literally don't. They want federal money to tell people like you and me that we aren't worthwhile to raise children. Now, I might agree on my own case, but I've met a lot of atheists who are very good at raising children, who have done fantastic jobs.
Indeed.
And, yeah. This kind of sucks.
Well, it's not really about raising children. It's about power.
Yeah, of course.
It's just power.
Yeah. There is a finite sum of power, and if they give it to other people, then they don't have it anymore.
So zero sum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is not zero sum.
You wouldn't tell it from the show, but man, I spend a lot of my time screaming about zero sum ideology at the screen when I watch TV.
Me
I really
too.
Anybody that thinks in a zero sum kind of fashion is going to always go negative.
Yeah. And however, a fundraiser started by two Muslim American organizations for the 11 victims of the Tree of Life shooting has raised more than $50,000 in 24 hours. The nonprofit Celebrate Mercy and Empower Change used LaunchGood, a crowdfunding platform started by Muslims 4 years ago and aimed at supporting entrepreneurial and charity projects of the global Muslim community. The fundraiser indicates that the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh will be responsible for managing distribution of the funds raised.
Yeah, no, this is pretty good. This is cultural reaching out. This is very important for how we handle these dire situations.
And here is an example of humanity at its best.
Yeah.
Right. At the end of the show, shrieking loudly like the end of the opera, is an old chestnut from this show, which you might believe is a little hard to take in these times, given the stories that we've done today. But I still think it holds true. And that's that people are generally better than their books. The books that we read, all the religious people around us read, tell them to fear other people. Tell them that life is a zero-sum game. You have to take all the holiness so that you have the maximum holiness points, that you have collected all of the Pokemon, that you have gone to all of the hospitals at the Vatican and prayed. You must go to these places. You must take these things and hold them all to yourself because it's your stuff. And if they have it too, then you don't have it. That's what we're told. And that's what all these books say. But when push comes to shove, and okay, we're at the top end of shove. We're getting to the point where whatever it is that comes after shove, and nobody tells me what it is, but I'm afraid of it. But whatever, we're at that point. People generally tend to be better at their books than their books. Like, here we go. Somebody, some white supremacist, you know, comes in and shoots up a synagogue, and the Muslim community says, well, that's not gonna stand. Let's do something about this. Let's mobilize. So, in my guise as Ask an Atheist, I'm donating whatever Patreon money I get this month specifically to this fund in the name of Ask an Atheist. That's what I'm doing. Because that's about the only thing I can do sometimes. And I've got a minute left. Right. I was expecting that to be the end of the show, and it's not. I have a minute. What do I do?
This is the song that never...
I did the end of my skit. I'm out of material. Somebody shine the light. How you guys otherwise doing? You have a boat, don't you?
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
Oh, boating's over, isn't
boating's
it?
Boating's over.
Yeah. It's,
so I got to close it up for winter.
Oh, dang. Baseball's over. There's totally over. All the teams that are in baseball are gone. No Brewers, no Cubs, no Mariners. They're all gone. So baseball's over. Even though, night before last, I watched an 18-inning World Series game. They played a full game, and then there was another game after it.
Did you have a 14th inning stretch?
Yeah, they really should have. And I met some great people at the Copperdor, and I had a great night with a bunch of people with a lot of different takes on life, and we sat down, and I hate to make this about sports, but man, sometimes you need to sit down and watch
after the news this week. Sports is good.
What's your bar tab look after 18 innings?
Times two. All right, our website is atheist.tv. Our email address is Our website is atheist.radio. Our email address is questions@atheist.radio. Our phone number is 844-753-7842. Thanks, Becky, for working with me today. Especially, be nice to each other. And I said this on, I put this as the title of the webpage. It did, because you know on WordPress you do the thing where you you put the name of your website and then like the tagline. Mm-hmm. And a few months ago I changed it to "Stop Hoarding Kindness," and let's leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.